Well, tonight we are studying the apostolic gift. We find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be studying verse 27. But I want to remind you that we've broken up this study of the spiritual gifts, into three main sections. The gifts that we've listed fit into three categories. The first one is the speaking gifts. The second category are the serving gifts. And then we'll look at the third category, which are the signifying gifts. And so for the past 2 weeks, we've been studying the first section, which we began by looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 and 8. And that kicked off that first section of the speaking gifts. Now, there are more gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. There are more gifts after the two that we've already studied. The first two gifts listed just happen to fit into the speaking gifts section, where the rest are either doubled up, that being the gift of prophecy that we'll study next week, or they're part of a different section, that being the serving gifts or the signifying gifts. And so we will continue to study 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10 in weeks to come. But we're going to depart from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 8 through 10. So like I said, we will come back to the gift of faith. We will come back to the gift of healings, the working of miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. In weeks to come, we will come back to those gifts. But for right now, we're going to leave 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, and move down the page to 1 Corinthians 12, 27 through 29, tonight being verse 27. And then another of the speaking gifts that we'll come to is going to be found in Romans 12, 8. And so typically we teach through the Bible, verse by verse. But for the sake of this study, we're just kind of bouncing around the Scripture, kind of like in a four-wheel drive vehicle, you know, off-roading for Jesus through His Word. I'm into that. Tonight we find ourselves at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 27. And so let's read that text, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Let's stop right there. The gift that we're studying tonight is the apostolic gift. Now, there is some controversy when it comes to this gift. There's controversy surrounding several of these gifts, but we're on this one tonight, so we'll talk about this controversy. You see, when it comes to creating a list of spiritual gifts, some of them are in question for some people. Everybody's lists of the spiritual gifts are different. As I mentioned on the very first study, some people say there's 15 gifts, some people say there's 17, some people say there's 20. Different people come to different conclusions about how many gifts there are. And I'll remind you what I said. I don't know. I don't know how many spiritual gifts there are. I have come to a conclusion for the sake of this study, so that this study will eventually end. But I don't know. There could be gifts that the Bible doesn't list. All I have to work with is what the Bible says. And then I've got to categorize those gifts in a way that makes sense for me. And so that's why I'm teaching the gifts the way I am. But some pastors and theologians believe that there is an apostolic gift. Others say that, no, there's no apostolic gift. It's just an office. And we will study the office of apostle a little bit tonight and more at the end of this study. So I do believe that there is an office of apostle. But I also believe that there is the apostolic gift. So I believe that there's both the office and the gift. And so, with the approach that we've taken so far, we're going to use that same approach tonight. In order to more fully understand the apostolic gift, we're going to look at this gift three-dimensionally using three D words. The first D word we're going to use is define. The second D word that we're going to use is diagnose. We will diagnose this gift and determine whether we have this gift or not. And then the third D word that we're going to use is develop, so that those of us that actually do have this gift. I'm going to give you some ideas about how to go about developing the gift. And so let's first start with defining the gift. Now, remember that the word apostle can be used with office. There's the office of apostle, and there is the gift, the apostolic gift. But the word occurs approximately 75 times in the New Testament, and it's found in 19 of the 27 New Testament books. And so it's a very frequent word in the New Testament. It's also very important to understand the basic definition that the Bible has for this word. Apostle basically means sent one. Sent one. And like I said, there's two different types of apostles. There's the office, or what's called the 12 apostles. The 12 apostles held a certain apostolic office. This is a specific group of men that had to meet a certain criteria. Well, let's talk about that criteria, if you would turn to Acts chapter 1. Because in Acts chapter 1, verse 21, we see what Peter says are two basic criteria for being considered an apostle, as it refers to the specific office. And so Acts chapter 1, verse 21 says this: "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Now, remember, Judas had sold Jesus out, and then he hung himself. And so one of the 12 is now dead. But according to the Old Testament, there needed to be one to take his place, and we don't have time to get into all of that. But here in Acts 1, we see the apostles, and they're trying to determine who's going to take his place and what's the criteria. And so we find two main criteria for filling this office of apostle. They had to be among the disciples from the time of Jesus' baptism, and they had to have remained a disciple from the baptism to the resurrection of Jesus. And so when you see these men with these big long titles, and part of their title is apostle, you know, or they're the apostolic church, or they're the apostle so-and-so, I'm apostle Bungie. If they mean in the same sense of the 12, it would be impossible for them to call themselves that. Hopefully they mean apostle in the sense that they've been sent out as a missionary. But if they mean I'm an apostle, like in the same way that the 12 apostles were apostles, it's impossible for them to be an apostle. They were not there at the baptism of Jesus, and they were not there at the resurrection of Jesus. And so those are two main criteria for being an apostle. We will spend a little bit more time on this idea of being an apostle, the office, towards the end of this series. We will look at Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about the office of apostle. But for this study, we want to focus on the apostolic gift, not the office. We don't want to talk about the specific role of apostle, but we want to talk about the more broad and general gift of the apostle, or the apostolic gift. So let's talk about that, the general sense of apostle. Now, let me give you guys some scriptural examples where other men were called apostles but were not part of the 12. Number one, Acts 14, verse 4 and 14. Barnabas, in those verses, is considered an apostle. In Galatians 1:19, James, the Lord's brother, was considered an apostle. In 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, coupled with chapter 2, verse 6, shows that Silas and Timothy were considered apostles. And then Paul himself announces himself several times, a lot of times at the beginning of epistles. He announces himself, like if you can even turn to Romans 1:1 later, read it for yourself, that Paul announces himself as an apostle. Now, there are those within Christianity who believe that Paul should have been the 12th apostle and not Matthias. So that's a debate that's going on amongst Christians. I think Peter got it right. I think that they cast their lots and showed that Matthias was the one to take Judas' place. But Paul is referring to himself as an apostle in the broader sense, that he has this apostolic gift. That I would agree. And so we see that there is a way in which you can be an apostle or a sent one without necessarily claiming to hold the office of the 12 apostles. And so how can we more simply understand this? I want to boil this down so that it becomes something that we can just really grab onto and better understand. I was talking with a friend yesterday about what I was preparing for, and he said, you know, I can't even say apostolic, let alone understand it. And so I was trying to think of a way to make this real simple. Today, in today's modern age, we typically no longer use the archaic word apostle. Today we use the more modern word missionary. A missionary is a person who carries out the mission of a church, particularly cross-culturally. So remember that apostle, the Greek word, means sent one. Dr. Leslie Flynn points out that the word missionary is rooted in Latin, to send. And so he continues, linguistically, missionary and apostle are equals. Both are sent ones. And so apostle, in the broad and general sense, holds the same meaning as our word today, missionary, that's rooted in the Latin to mean sent one. So understand that a missionary is one who has been sent by the church to fulfill the Great Commission. So let me give you guys a simple working definition of the apostolic gift. It's a divinely inspired desire to reach others for Christ, regardless of their language, culture, or global proximity. Let me say that again. It's a divinely inspired desire to reach others for Christ, regardless of their language, culture, or proximity. So there you have a definition of the apostolic gift, something you can get your mind around and get a handle on so that you can start developing the gift if you have it. But let's first get into that second D word, diagnose. Because I want to spend some time, some diagnostic time, in order for us to determine whether this is a spiritual gift that we have or not. So I want to ask you a few questions. They're simple questions, but these questions can help you to determine whether this is a gift that you have or not. So question number one, do you desire to see people get saved at any cost? Do you desire to see people get saved at any cost? Consider Isaac Page. He was a missionary to China, and he used to joke about the meaning of the word apostle or missionary and how that was equivalent to the financial status of the sent one. And he would say that 1 cent is 1 cent. So, you know, the one who is sent typically is only worth about 1 cent, in other words. And if you look at his bank account, there's probably about 1 cent in there. So turn to Philippians chapter 3. Because in Philippians chapter 3, we see the heart of Paul. Paul, an apostle. Paul, a sent one. Paul, a missionary. You see, an apostle is a person who is not interested so much in the earthly gain. It doesn't mean that you're just like, well, I don't need money at all. I can just... No, I don't mean that. What I mean, though, is that it's lower on your list of priorities. You're concerned to make money and become financially wealthy falls far on the list under seeing people get saved. An apostle is someone who's not bent on making a name in the corporate community. Rather, they would rather make a name in heaven. Philippians 3:7 says this, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I love the King James translation there because he counts all things as dung. And for those of you who have pets, you know what dung is. There's city laws that demand that you pick up that animal's dung when you're walking him down the street. Now, would you say that I count all this stuff, my paycheck, my car, everything that I have, it's basically equivalent to what my dog leaves behind? Those things are just the same to me. If only I could know Christ and make him known. Is that your heart? Is that how you feel? Are you saying that, man, working really hard so that I can have a nice car just doesn't mean anything to me? I would much rather spend that money on a plane ticket so I can go overseas somewhere. I'd rather spend that money on books to know how to evangelize better. I'd rather spend that money on supporting a missionary through GFA. If that's your heart, chances are you have the apostolic gift. You have the heart of a missionary. The second question is this. Do you feel a deep need to reach people of other cultures? Do you feel a deep need to reach people of other cultures? Check out Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul calls himself a prisoner. I love this. Because maybe when you're watching the news, maybe when you're watching the world news and you see various tragedies that happen in Christless cultures, and your heart begins to ache, and you want so bad to just fly over there, go over to where they are, and begin to show to them the Savior. You want to go and take Jesus to them. You want to send support. You want to send money. You want to send whatever you can so that these people might be saved. You almost feel bound to make that happen. Ephesians 3:1, Paul felt that very same way. Right there in the middle of the verse, it says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Paul felt like a prisoner for Jesus to reach the Gentiles. He's bound, obligated to that ministry of reaching the Gentiles. Look down the page a little ways to Ephesians 3:6. He says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given to me by the effecting working of his power. And so there was this gift of grace given to Paul so that he could become an effective minister of the gospel for the Gentiles. I believe that that gift of grace is that apostolic gift, giving us extra grace so that we can go and reach the lost world, that we can go and reach people of different cultures in different areas of the world than what we're used to. And so there's that gift of grace, there's that apostolic gift that God wants to give to some of us so that we can say, you know what, I don't need those expensive items that the world goes after. I'm ready to sell it all. I'm ready to get rid of it. I'm ready to count it all rubbish so that I can be used to go and reach people all around the world. In verse 8, he continues, Ephesians 3:8. He says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I love that. He's saying, you know what? All this other stuff that the world's going after, I don't need that. But what I'm going after are the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable riches. You know, we just watched as this group of people just won that most high-dollar lottery ever, and we just think, wow. You know, I instantly start thinking, wow, what the ministry we could accomplish with all that money. Oh, wow. You know, the Hummer ministry that I want to start. The Harley ministry I want to start. Yeah. Be awesome, right? Paul's saying, no, if I could just reach the Gentiles, the same man who was ready to give away his own salvation so that his own people would be saved. I don't know about you, but my heart's not there yet. I'm not ready to go to hell so that all of my Gentile friends could be saved. Shame on me, but that's where I'm at right now. Paul. I mean, the incredible missionary heart that he had, that he would be willing to give up his own place in heaven so that his brethren, the Jews, might be saved. I pray that God would give us all that same heart, that same passion for souls. Well, an apostle feels compelled, even bound, as Paul even said, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And you know, this might be just you feel like a prisoner for a certain racial or ethnic or area, a culture from, you know, wherever, somewhere in the world. You might feel like there's a certain people group that you have to reach, you know, and they're in this area and they speak this language, and that might be your heart. Like Paul with the Gentiles, he just felt compelled to reach the Gentiles. Like our missionary, Jason Mola, who is down in Honduras. He felt, and ever since I had known him, he felt compelled to a certain area of the world and a certain people group. But it could be a religious culture as well. I think of Dave Hunt, who we just had speak here recently, and his heart for the Catholics. I think about Bill McKeever, who we've actually had speak here last year, and his heart for the Mormons. I mean, their ministry is so focused. Dave Hunt's a little more broad in his spectrum, but Bill McKeever is so focused. I mean, his only ministry is to Mormons, and he feels totally called to just reach the Mormons. But not only is there like the religious or the racial cultures, but what about academia? I mean, they find themselves in one whole culture by themselves. I mean, you ever tried to talk to some of these scholars and some of these, you know, professors and whatnot? They're in a world all their own, man. You know, it's hard to get them to come down and just use basic English, you know. But thankfully, there's men like William Dembski and J.P. Moreland, and I consider them missionaries, apostles to the academic world. There are all sorts of cultures in the world today, and there's all kinds of cultural lines and languages that we have to cross in order to reach people. And so please don't misunderstand the apostolic gift. Because just because you might not feel called to somewhere halfway around the world doesn't mean that you haven't been given the apostolic gift. If your heart is to reach people of any culture, maybe God's given you the apostolic gift. The final question I have for you in this diagnostic section is this. Do you have a desire to travel? Because with this gift could potentially come lots of travel. Maybe not. I want to preface what I'm saying this way, that for a while when I was doing college ministry, we felt like missionaries because we would go on to the University of Texas campus. And there would be times that, you know, you're standing in front of the union and different cultural activities are being led out, and one night you speak to nothing but Muslims. And the next night you're speaking to nothing but Hindus. And the next night you're, I mean, you know, the cultures that are on university campuses, I mean, it's a mission field. And these people aren't here forever. And my desire and part of the vision for this church is to eventually have a college ministry where we're making inroads to other cultures all the way around the world through the ministry at the university. And we're leading these students to Christ here. And we're equipping them here and then sending them back home as missionaries. Wow, what a neat heart if somebody would come along and say, I have that vision too, Bungie. I want to be that college minister. I want to go onto the campus and reach these cultures for Christ, sending back kids as missionaries. But chances are, the apostolic gift, I give you one real specific way in which you wouldn't have to travel in order to accomplish that apostolic ministry. But most of it is going to be traveling. And so if you have a heart to travel, if you have a heart to go, you know, across America or across the world, maybe God's called you to be a missionary. Maybe he's given you the apostolic gift. You have a desire to minister to people of any culture, of any area of the world, then God's probably given you the apostolic gift. Some people become, you know, tied to a house, and it's just like, you know, they nest there, and this is their house, and they're not leaving for anything, you know, and that's okay. God hasn't given you the apostolic gift. You don't have to be all bummed out about that. God's going to call different people in different ways. But if you're like, house, schmouse, whatever, you know, I want to live out of a suitcase. I want to travel. I want to lead people to the Lord wherever, whenever. That's definitely the apostolic gift. Well, time would fail us to look at all the examples of the apostolic gift in light of the broader sense, the missionary sense. Jesus coming from heaven to earth, that was a mission trip. He modeled for us the apostolic gift. Peter going out and ministering to the Gentiles after the vision there on before he went to Cornelius' house. Saul turning into Paul and Barnabas and all the missionary journeys they took. I mean, you just consider the New Testament by itself. It's one big missionary journey. So read the New Testament. You'll learn all about the apostolic gift. Look at the missionaries found in the Scriptures. But, you know, let's talk about developing this gift, because one thing to develop this gift is just to understand the missionary work that was done in the Bible. Read the epistles. Learn how Paul was dealing with the various problems in the areas that he was raising these churches up. And typically he's dealing with some problem that the culture brought into the church. You know, there's the culture that we're brought up in. There's the norms that we have. And then there's Christianity. And what we always tend to want to do is bring our culture into the church and mess up doctrines and worship. And back in this pagan time when, I mean, there was sexual practices as a part of worship and just all kinds of horrible things, and they were sacrificing, you know, food to idols, and there was just all kinds of problems going on. We have different problems today. Now we sacrifice Burger King to the American idol and that sort of thing. But different ways that you can develop this apostolic gift. Take part in local evangelism. It's going to be huge for you. Because as I pointed out Sunday, in Sunday's message, if I'm your pastor and you come to me and say, I'm ready to go around the world. And I say, well, how are you reaching people here in Austin? Well, I'm not. So why do I think you're going to go halfway around the world now and do it over there? I mean, you're not doing it here. You know, why not start doing it here. Reach people here. Reach people now. Begin to pray and look for opportunities to share your faith. And it can be as simple as this. You go to a restaurant, you start some small talk with your waiter or waitress. They can't get mad at you. They're expecting a tip, you know. And they have to keep coming back because it's their job. And so you can start sharing your faith with them, or, you know, just take tracts with you. I know that every time me and Brenda travel, we take tracts with us, and we're dropping them off, and we're leaving them everywhere, and even talking with people. So another way to learn about evangelism is a week from now, we'll be going out on our first Thursday outreach. And our first Thursday outreach is designed in such a way that you can go out and be a part of street evangelism without actually having to evangelize. You can stand there and be a prayer partner. And you can watch as someone that knows how to evangelize, they know how to start conversations, they know how to, you know, get in and massage a conversation so it goes in the right direction. You know, the typical approach that we most of us have is, do you know Jesus, or have you been to church lately? Or, you know, and instantly, I mean, they just put up the, you know, it's like the Millennium Falcon putting up the shields, you know. And anything you say after that, it's going in one ear, out the other. It's not even getting through. They're not listening because you said church or Jesus, and they're not interested. But there's ways to start conversations with people where it opens them up. It gets them interested in what you have to say. And when you finally get around to the gospel, they're just like, they're blown away that they're even talking to a Christian. And they walk away with a real positive understanding of Christianity. And so go and learn. Go and learn how to impact people's lives by just coming out and being a prayer partner at First Thursday Outreach. Another way is by spending time studying other great missionaries. You know, I love the concept that Warren Wiersbe brought out of standing on the shoulders of giants. You know, a lot of people say, Bungie, I love your Bible studies, but I'll tell you what, I'm just reading what somebody else, you know, Chuck Smith said this and Warren Wiersbe said that, and if you like what I'm saying, then you'd love their books. You know, I'm just standing on the shoulders of giants. I'm just standing on the shoulders of the Christians that have come before me, and I'm just taking what I've learned from them and passing it on to you. So praise the Lord for the great work that's been done by the men and women of faith before us. There's biographies and autobiographies of men like William Carey, who was a missionary to India, Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China, David Livingston, who was a missionary to Africa. Read these people's stories. Find out what kind of missionaries they were, the best ways to go about this, the worst ways to go. Learn about being a missionary. Another thing is to learn a new language, especially if you know that God's going to call you to a certain area, you know you have a heart for a certain people group, and they have a different language. Well, don't wait until you get over there to start learning a language, just like don't get over there and start learning how to evangelize. Start learning language now. Start developing the understanding of how to speak to these people now, so that when you get over there, you know, you might have to adjust to, you know, a certain area's dialect or a certain area's slang, but it's not going to, that's a whole lot easier than starting from scratch over there. So start learning a language now. Even in studying language or even in studying linguistics, you know, having concepts of what it even means to study language can help you when it comes to studying languages. So just start doing research in linguistics. Also, pray that God would make it evident when and where you should go. Because you might know the where. You might know, oh, I've got a heart for this area. You know, and it's hard because, you know, it's like, when am I supposed to go now? God will send you. God will make it clear when you're supposed to go. And as I taught on Sunday, I taught about the double sending. The double sending, I believe, is very important. Because it's important for God to separate and send you. But there's also the church sending you as well. And that's why it's important to be plugged into a church, to have a pastor, you know, where you're seeking accountability, you're seeking for that church to actually send you out, for them, for the leaders of that church to feel comfortable with where you're at, you know, that they feel like they can back you. And then you've got that prayer support from that church and possibly some financial help. And, you know, it's so important to be part of a church sending you out. And so God wants to separate and send you if you have this gift, but so does your church. So be plugged in that way. So if you do feel called to the work of missions, if you feel like you have that apostolic gift, then the guy that comes up here and does announcements every Sunday morning, Dave Napier, he is the guy that oversees our missions ministry here at Calvary South Austin. You ought to start talking to him. You ought to start letting him know your heart to do missions work, and you're praying about what God would do with your life. And, man, he would be a wealth of information to be able to sit down and pray with you and discuss this with you and to point you in some good directions. Well, that does it for this gift. There's so much more that I'd love to say about this gift because I love missionary work, and I love to go on trips, and I love to go and evangelize, and I would love it. God gave me a vision years and years ago, because it was like he would put China on my heart, and then he would put South America on my heart, and then he'd put Europe on my heart, and I was just so confused by it. And I just said, God, just make it clear. Do you want me to go somewhere? Because I'm ready to go if you want me to go. And then he kept putting South Austin on my heart, and I was just like, what is this, God? And God told me that he wouldn't send me out as a missionary, but that he would use me to send out many missionaries. And that through this church, we're going to make an impact on the world. And through this church, missionaries are going to be sent out to China. Missionaries are going to be sent out to Europe. Missionaries are going to be sent out all over the world from Calvary South Austin. Some of you are some of those people that are going to be sent out. So let's start moving forward in that direction, getting people ready to be sent out from Calvary South Austin. And we'll praise God for what he's doing as he gives some of us the apostolic gift. Well, next week we're going to take a look at the gift of prophecy, and that's going to be an exciting gift to look at. It's certainly an interesting gift and one that is typically misunderstood. So please show up next week, and we'll continue this study of the spiritual gifts.